Take your Bibles, please find 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3, near the end of the scripture. 1 Peter chapter number 3. We'll start reading responsively on verse number 8, please, and read down through verse 17. So I'll be even-handed with you, and you'll be odd. Thank God there's not Tilgath Pilneser. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that, whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing.
We will come back to 1 Peter chapter 3 in a moment. But I'm going to start the sermon out of Luke 15. You don't need to turn there. It's going to be the illustration for the truth I want to give to you. In Luke 15, you have the account or the story of the prodigal son. A man had two sons. They were grown. One decided he was grown enough. He didn't want to stay at home. And he said, "Dad, give me my inheritance so that I can go do what I want to do." And his dad divided what he had at that time and gave him the money's worth of that to his son. And his son left home. The Bible says he left and lived a riotous life, not righteous, but riotous. He wasted his substance. He held the wild parties. He had the fast camels or cars or whatever. he did all the things. He traveled like he wanted to do. And the Bible says that one day the famine came and he was out of money. And he couldn't call any favors because he didn't have any money to pay it back with. And the friends were gone. Food was gone, and his stomach started to get pretty hungry. It got so bad, listen to this, that he began, as a Jewish kid, to slop hogs. You know anything about the Jewish religion and pigs? That's about as vile of a job that a Jewish person could do, is to be around pigs. The Bible said his pay was that he could eat the husks from the corn that he fed the pigs. Now, let me remind you, the husk is that leaf that's on the outside. Not the cob, that outside husk. Imagine being so hungry that that's your only food. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've been hungry a few times, but not that hungry. He's at the bottom. He doesn't know what to do. He's not only broke, he's not sure he's going to survive. And he has this idea. Maybe I could go home. Maybe my dad would hire me to work on the farm. Maybe he'd pay me what he pays the other workers on the farm, and at least I could survive. It's got to be better than eating what the pigs won't even eat. He starts to head home. As he heads home, he gets closer and closer, and I imagine he doesn't smell real good. Imagine he only has the clothes on his back, and they haven't been washed for quite a while. Who knows how long it's been since he's had a haircut or a shower. And yet, he gets a little closer and he can see the farm. He gets within sight of the house and imagine his head drops. Is Dad going to even let me in the door? What are they going to think? He looks up. Here comes his daddy. Arms open wide for his boys come home. Where's his mama? Bible doesn't say. I have a sneaking suspicion she was in heaven. We know the story. Dad welcomes him back and he throws a party for his son. But wait a minute. He had a boy that stayed home. He had a boy that stayed and ran the business with Dad. He had a boy that didn't do wrong, and now they're throwing a party for the one that did. And the one that stayed home gets a little too big for his britches. And he said, Dad, what are you doing? He's the one that ran away. He said, son, he gets a change of clothes. He gets a ring. He gets a party. You become his boss tomorrow morning. This is all he gets. He spent it all. He lost it all. Whatever he earns from here on out. But you're his boss from here on. He said, son, look, as far as you can see, that's all yours. Don't get mad at your brother. Just give him a job. Let me say this. You know, the son that left never quit being his dad's son. The younger son didn't lose his inheritance. He chose to spend it now instead of waiting for later. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 again in verse number 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, now watch this, that ye should inherit a blessing. God's, and by the way, the word should there is future tense. It's not present tense. He said that you should inherit a blessing. There are no words in the King James Bible by accident. Amen. These are the only words God ever wrote, and they're exactly the way he wanted them. Amen. It doesn't, by the way, it doesn't say that he might. It says that you should. Now, I love when God blesses. It's exciting to see God's blessing. But I love more being a blessing than getting one. There's something satisfying about being a blessing to somebody. Being a cup of cold water to a dry and thirsty traveler. Being a light or a lighthouse to somebody that's about to crash the rocks. There's just something special about being a blessing. God tells us that we should inherit a blessing, an inheritance. Do you know what the word inheritance means? It means you get what's left from someone who has passed away. You get the leftovers of their life. That's basically what it means. It's the leftover of someone's life after they're gone that are given to you. You assume their wealth, their possessions, whatever has been willed to you. Now watch this. God says, that's the key word, God. God says that we should inherit a blessing. Well, Jesus died, and he left us an inheritance. Many of those things are in heaven, but God can distribute them early too. We Christians can be so selfish. We want what we want so badly that we don't look past our want. And we're about like the prodigal son. We want to spend all that God has for us while we're here on earth, and we're putting nothing away for heaven. I wonder how many Christians are like the prodigal son, and you're spending all of your inherited blessings now. We demand from God that he give us some of our inheritance. He says, are you sure you want it now? Yep. My dad, my hero. We'll go out to eat or we'll do something or I'll get him something. He's always reaching for his wallet. Wants to pay for everything. Say, why? Because that's the way he's always been. And I'll say, Dad, I got it. He said, well, you're either going to get it now or get it later. I'll take later. I like giving and I'll take it later. Amen? You say, what is, that's what he's talking about. I wonder how many people are spending their blessings now that they should be getting in heaven. No lie. I was walking the church proper today. I got down the driveway and Kevin, I said, God, you're going to have to work out something with this loan mess. I said, God, it's all yours. I said, I think I got it figured out, but I don't trust me. So you just do it the way you want it. We'll go from there. I said, God, I don't want to pay the bank an extra $750,000. I'd rather see that $750,000 go into God's work. But if you want us to pay the bank, we'll pay the bank. Everybody doing okay? This is how I pray. Say, are you asking for a blessing? No, I'm just asking for God to give wisdom to show us what to do. Amen. And I told God this morning, I said, God, I'm not asking you to supernaturally do something that's going to forfeit future blessings for our church. I don't want you to take your hand of blessing off the church. Amen. Just show me what we're supposed to do and I'll do it. I don't want God to take care of the blessing of the loan and us never see God bless this work ever again. I'd never sell God's hand of blessing for money. Never. Not worth it to me. But I wonder how many of us, God, I got to have this. God said, can't you wait? If you wait till you get here, it's going to be a whole lot better. Nope, I got to have it now. I wonder how many of us are just like the prodigal son, and we beg God, beg God, beg God, and demand of God he give us what we want so much that when we get to heaven, I wonder if you're really going to have in heaven what you think you're going to have. I wonder how many of you are borrowing the gold bricks off your cabin and you ain't going to have a place to live. Everybody doing okay? Number one, God says that the will of God is supposed to be the most important thing. 1 Peter 3:17, we read it. For it is better if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. That the will of God be so. I love this. The will is the distribution of life after a person has passed away. What's the will of God, preacher? Doing what God wants done since Jesus passed away. He wants us to use his will now. The will is a legal document that has to be followed in order to get its benefits. Is that not what a will is? It is a legal document that must be followed strictly so that the benefits can be paid out. That's all that it is. By the way, let me say this, and it's in my notes. I added it this morning. There are people sitting in this room right now and you don't have a will, and you're going to cause a mess for your family. In the state of West, if you live in the state of West Virginia, you can file one. We can do it with you and for you. You can do it. Mrs. Barnes has the paperwork. You can get it all filled out exactly the way you want. We can get it notarized for you and get you copies of it. And it's as legal and binding as if you've gone to a lawyer. And it doesn't cost you a penny. It is legal in the state of West Virginia and several other states to do so. Say, why, preacher? Because without that, your family and those who take over afterwards, or the government who will step in and take everything you have, they'll be more than glad to take it over for you. There are things in the state of West Virginia, you can deed your house, what they call TOD. You can have your house redeeded, put it into whoever you want's names, whether it's one or two or three or four or 20. And it can, the moment you pass away or the last person on there passes away, it immediately goes to them. There's no change of hands. There's no filing with the tax offices and everything. It immediately transfers over. Let me say something else. Not only do you need a will, please listen to these words very, very, very carefully. You also need somebody appointed as power of attorney for your stuff, medical and financial. One of the things that about 10, 12 years ago, I talked with my mom and dad. I talked with my wife's mom and dad. I call them both mom and dad, so I have to, both my moms and dads. It didn't sound quite right, so I did it that way. But I sat down with both of them and said, look, we need to make sure if something happens to anybody that we can make decisions for you and that's not the government stepping in. And you have to have what's called a POA appointed, and it's not hard to do. It's just a document you sign, and then it's so. You say, well, preacher, I don't know who. Come see me. We'll do it. There are several people, I don't even know how many, probably a half a dozen people or more in this church that have asked me to be their medical POA. That would mean if there were major medical things and you need somebody to make decisions for you, this is the person they would come to. If you don't want to be put on life support, the person with POA has the right to tell them to take you off. It's that kind of thing. And it goes far deeper than that, but you need to have somebody appointed as a POA as well as have a will. I'm not making any money on it, don't want any money on it. But I'm telling you, I've dealt with enough situations, if you don't do it, it's a mess. Yes, sir. Number three, don't ever leave anything in the word estate. The word estate means you have to become a fiduciary to do so, and it's about a 9 to 12 month process that is a pain. Don't let any lawyer tell you to leave it as the estate of. Tell them to take that word out of there. You say, why? Trust me, your family will hate you if you don't. And that's all I'm going to say, because that word is voodoo when it comes to everything else. You say, preacher, if you have questions, bring your documents to me. I'll look at them for you and tell you how to fix things if it needs fixed. But I'm not trying to do it for you. I'm just telling you, you need to have something in place. Reason I'm taking a trip next week is because I have power of attorney. I'm going up to take care of my in-laws to make sure all the business things are cared for. Everything's ready to go. And I'm on all the contact information with the doctors and things so that we can make the right decisions as quickly as they need made. That's what it's for. I have my dad's POA. My brother is co with it. Either one of us can make the decisions. I'm primary since he's here most of the time, but he and I are equal POA. You can have two. It's not a problem. But whatever it is, you need to have somebody appointed that way. Does that make sense to everybody? All right, nod your head. If you have questions about that, see me or Mrs. Barnes. We can help you with some of those things. But this message was brought to you by... Anyway, the will is a legal document that has to be followed in order for the benefits to pay out. I love what God says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you know what God's will is? He wants every person to hear the gospel and get saved. When a person refuses the gospel and refuses to get saved, they are bypassing the will of God. That's what it is. It saddens me when I go through the gospel with somebody and say, well, I'm not ready yet. How much more ready you got to be? You're facing hell right now. God doesn't want anybody to not hear the gospel and to not have a chance to be saved. God's will is that everybody hear the gospel. That means after we get saved and we've obeyed God's will, we ought to help God's will by getting the gospel out to other people. It's our job. It's our job to tell others about him. A will has to be written and legally approved and cannot be changed without it going through the legal process all over again. Can I tell you something? I hold in my hand the will of God. I don't care how many people rewrite it, it's not valid. This is the only one that'll work. The others are imposters. The others are man's will, not God's will. The will of God is not some ooky spooky mystery that we got to be in search of. Ooh, we got to find the will of God. Young people, listen to me. The will of God's not hard. Obey what the Bible says. That's the will of God. So, well, what's that mean? Well, I believe more Christian young people ought to go to Bible college and follow into the process of the ministry, but it doesn't mean all of them should. The lost people aren't going to be the preachers. It's going to come from church kids. Does that not make sense? So that means a higher percentage of our kids probably will go to the go to Bible college. Some will become preachers and full-time Christian servants. Great, that's the way it should be. But it doesn't mean all of them are going to, and they're not third-rate citizens because they don't. Did y'all hear me say that? Good, because I'll keep saying it. If God doesn't call you into the ministry, do me a favor. Don't do it. There's enough casualty rate as it is. We don't need to add one to it. Anybody doing? I'm having too much fun right now. The will of God, he wrote it down so that we could read it. Did you know that my dad's will is not something that's hidden away and nobody can ever find it? It's not supposed to be some big mystery. That's what God's talking about here. It has to be read and obeyed to get its full reward, though. It's all legal and binding. Look at Hebrews chapter 7, just a few pages back to the left. Hebrews chapter 7. Look at verse number 22. I wish I could read this whole chapter. We don't have time. But look at verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. If you look at the top of a will, it's called my last will and testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Jesus came and fulfilled the will of God so that we could be joint heirs with him in the testament, in the will. It is as legal and binding for us as saved Christians as it is for Jesus. And let me just say this right now for all of you in, they used to call it radio land, but I guess it's internet land. I don't care if you pray through Mary, the Pope, the live one, or the dead one, or the one they just buried. St. Michael, St. Thomas, or St. Thomas Aquinas, or Joan of Arc, or any of the others, I don't care who you pray through, they don't get you any closer to God than you can. Because when Jesus died, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, and we have direct access to God. Did you know that if you're saved, you're as saved as Jesus Christ? I am as saved as Jesus is. He is the Son of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If Jesus is a son of God and I am a son of God, guess what? I have equal access to God. I have the same standing that Jesus has when it comes to salvation. That also means, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm about to shout. Look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Plural. That's us. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But ye have received the spirit of adoption. Notice the first spirit of bondage. Spirit is small s. Second one, you've received the spirit of adoption, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. That's getting saved. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit, man's spirit, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus, or with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Look at me. God said if you're saved, you're an heir of God, and you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I have one brother. My brother's name is Chris. He's older. And I love my brother. If you look at my dad's will, it talks about he and I being joint heirs. We are co-heirs. I have the document. I could show it to you. Say, what is that? Because there's only two of us. So, I want to leave things to my children, and my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren. That's fine. Simplify it. Let things be done decently and in order. But did you know that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Say, why is that? Because we got saved. The moment you got saved, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, legal authority to be the sons of God. Notice it says we have to be adopted as well as born again. I preached a whole Wednesday night Bible study on that. That means this. When you got born again, your spirit got born. But that left your body and your soul. God wants all of you in heaven. So he adopts your body and he adopts your soul, and your spirit has been reborn. We get his eternal genetics. And by the way, someone who's been adopted has as much legal right as somebody who is bloodborn. Boy, that's good stuff. Folks, let me hurry here. Number two, we can spend our blessings or inheritance before we're supposed to have it. We can spend our inheritance and the things we're supposed to have before we're supposed to have it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let me read a verse to you, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. What that means is this. Some of you are spending things that you're supposed to get in heaven because you're getting it now because you're holding God hostage. You're spending your gold and your silver and your precious stones here, and you're not sending it ahead. So it becomes wood, hay, and stubble here. God's paving the roads with gold up there. Everybody doing okay? Wood, hay, and stubble is our spending, our inheritance before heaven. It's like the Pharisee wanting to be seen praying and praised of men. Oh God, thank you that I'm not like this poor publican. God, thank you that you let me fast. And thank you that you, and he's praying real loud for everybody to hear. God said, you've received your reward. I think it's funny. There was a guy, he's still down there in Charlestown. He's an idiot. He wanted to clobber me one day because I was going in to pray for a commissioner meeting. He said, you need to pray in your closet. And I said, you need to go get a shower. People like that, they really don't want to cross me. They really don't, because I could tear them so many different directions. Do you know that he's the Pharisee, not me? He is doing it to be seen of men. He does it so people will feel sorry for him. He's like Bernie Sanders. He needs to go the way of Colonel Sanders and die. There's only one word Bernie knows, oligarchy. He doesn't even know what it means. Folks, the word oligarch means a rich person who rules because they have money. Do you know how much Bernie Sanders is worth? You know how many hundreds of millions of dollars he has? He's the oligarch. And there's people in the coal mines of West Virginia out there cheering him on last night. Dumber than a box of rocks. He's a communist. Just thought I'd throw that out there. That wasn't in my notes. But the jerk that wants to complain that I want to start a meeting in prayer doesn't even know enough about history to understand we were founded on prayer. Amen. Separation of church and state. Didn't say separation of God and state. The church isn't telling the government what to do. We're praying and asking God to put some sense into some stupid people's heads. The prodigal son got his inheritance before his dad died. Had he waited, he would have gotten more. I wonder how much more you could have if you just didn't spend it all now. We need to look at what we want and ask ourselves, is it worth wanting it and having it now? I'm for you being comfortable. I'm for you having nice things. I'm not against those things. I'm not against a new car or a new truck if you can afford it. But heaven and eternity is a whole lot longer than the life of a car or the life of a house. And please don't get mad at me for saying this. But it always amazes me, the older people get, the bigger house they want. And they can't take care of it. We don't need to have a big house so we have to pay somebody else to come clean it. Maybe we ought to just be comfortable and not worry about what everybody else has got.
Amen.
I'd rather live in a cardboard box on earth and send everything to heaven. Now, I'm for being comfortable. I want my wife comfortable. I want her cared for. And she will be. If something happened to me right now, she's okay. She's probably better off. Yeah, just because I beat you to it's the only thing. Now, wait a second. But can I tell you something? I did that on purpose because my responsibility doesn't end. By the way, I feel that way about my church. To those of you that are newer here, don't know this. I have a fairly large life insurance policy. I have $500,000 life insurance policy. I pay a good bit of money on life insurance, but watch this. When I die, half of it goes to my wife and half of it goes to this church so that this church can survive at current rate about 9 months to a year without having to worry about the offerings. Yeah. So I'm watching where I'm driving so that no deacons are around. Amen. Now watch this. Say, why, preacher? Because I feel like it's my responsibility to make sure this church is cared for and don't have to do anything for 3 months other than come to church and go soul winning. Amen. You don't need a pulpit committee the first week I'm gone. You need to wait 3 months before you do anything. Just let everything settle. Say, but preacher, trust me. I've been through this too many times with too many churches. And if you'll listen to me, I can show you the success and how it works. But my responsibility doesn't end when I quit sucking air. I want this church to know their preacher loved them enough to take care of them. Number three. By the way, maybe you ought to start a retirement for heaven. It's called winning souls. I can't wait to get to heaven someday, Brother Kevin, and find out how many people got saved. Amen. That I won to Christ or got saved in a preaching service. I have no idea. I wonder how many people you've been a blessing to that you didn't even know you were, and God's going to give you some inheritance for it. Amen. Number three, and I'll finish quickly here. Heaven's where we get our full reward. Amen. Turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Servants, obey, verse 22, all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. There's going to be a lot of preachers upset in heaven because they tooted their own horn and they lose reward in heaven. There's going to be a lot of quiet, subservient Christians who are going to rise ahead of some of us preachers. Mrs. Myers, in the last 4 or 5 years, only God knows how many hundreds of thousands of tracts that woman has sat at a table or in her chair with bags of rubber bands, taking them out and putting them together. She can't get out and go knock on doors, but she's made it so where every person in this church can. Amen. And she has a part in each and every one of those gospel tracts. Amen. That woman has touched more tracts than any human in this room. Think about it. We average almost, probably what, 75 to 100,000 tracts a year. Probably close to that right now. Unbelievable. They're the trackinest people I ever found. Good night. Miss Nancy joined the church because somebody left one at a gas pump. She was frustrated with the, I won't give you the denomination, church that she went to. She was growling to her husband that doesn't go to church, but came to our 4th of July picnic and he likes me. Something's got to be good with him. I mean, but she was growling about that, her church, and he said, well, he reached over, grabbed it off the gas pump, handed her, said, well, these people care enough to put these out. Why don't you try that place? Honest to God, isn't it, Miss Nancy? Miss Myers had part of that. You see, that's what heaven's going to be like. Those of you that strut your stuff down here like a turkey in April. Look what I did. Nope. God says you got your reward. You've got your reward because you want everybody to see you. You're the one that gets upset because you didn't get to do what you wanted to do. We don't see the full reward here because life's not over yet. I made this statement a couple weeks ago, and it's been burning in me to say it again. I do not know the name of my Sunday school teacher who taught 4- and 5-year-olds. One day after junior church, we knelt at a chair and she won me to Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother James, I don't know her name. But there's going to be a shock in heaven. One day, in hundreds of thousands of people that God's allowed me to reach and see saved, and all the lives that have been changed around the world, and preachers I've trained, millions of people affected because one Sunday school teacher. One little Sunday school teacher. She looked like an old lady. She had to be at least 35. Hey, when you're 4 and a half, 5 years old, everybody looks old. I have no idea how old she was. I don't know her name. But one day in heaven, she's going to have the shock of her life. I'm going to get to see her. That's called full reward. Full reward. Your investment keeps on growing when you invest in eternity. Every once in a while, I'll look up and talk to Brother Hiles a little bit. I miss him. He's been gone for good night, 24 years. Every once in a while, I'll walk around the church property. And I'll say, I'm still sending some ahead. You're going to get a few more. Say why? Because he influenced me. I'm willing to work for less now to have a great retirement for eternity. I think many ought to learn to put things away for retirement. Yes, they do. But maybe we ought to be putting things away for eternity. Let me say this and I'm done. Part of the purpose of leaving something behind is to help the next generation. Let's not squander what's given to us, but let's build on that and give it to the next generation. I hope generations to come, Grace Baptist Church sits on this hill preaching a fiery gospel. Not backing down from the devil. Maybe we ought to take what's been handed to us as an inheritance and build on it. Not just spend it all up. Build on it to hand to the next generation. And the next generation. And the next generation. Maybe that's the biggest thing we should do. That ye should inherit a blessing. But let's not be like the prodigal son and wasted on riotous living. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. At first it doesn't seem like those two parts of the scripture go together. But they do. I wonder who would say, preacher, there's something in that sermon today that I needed personally. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Thank you. If you do not know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, come, we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know. You've been saved and never baptized. How about you jump onto the ship of the will of God? God says after we're saved, his will is that we get baptized. We join the church and we start telling others. It's that simple. Whatever the need. Maybe you just want to come pray. If God's been working on your heart this morning, how about you come humble yourself? Pray at an old-fashioned altar.